And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
Right. I'm just going to play us in a little bit.
When are you going to tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
I wear headphones just okay. So I look professional. Thank you for coming in here.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. It's great to see you guys.
All right. So I'm John. Trish is co-hosting.
Hello.
Hello.
And
I'm Krista Hines.
Are you president now?
Technically, yes. President okay. And CEO of Hudson River Housing.
Nice.
Yes.
We love Hudson River. We love you. All right. So
I love you guys.
I have an ethical question.
We're going right in.
Yeah. And we can strike this if it gets hairy and name dropping.
Uh-oh.
But
I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Of everybody I know, I think you two have like the best moral compass. So I waited to bring this up until, and it's advice. It's got nothing to do with you guys. It's just advice.
Okay.
So I'm doing the Lifted Project, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I won't say the organization's name, but an organization that has to do with that, a children's choir. I can say that much.
Okay.
I go through the process, the board votes, and they're like, yes, we're in. We would like to participate. Mm-hmm. And I give them half a song, and they're going to write the song with me, and fun, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
We'll get to the house you built for kids in a second.
That little thing.
Yeah. Like, my shit's more important. And, totally. And so they agree, right? Mm-hmm. Then my internet troll writes them. Now, I wrote them, and I said, hey, when you say yes, I'm going to announce it. When I announce it, my internet troll is going to write you. Mm-hmm. He's going to tell you all kinds of crazy stuff about me. Yeah. Some of it's true. Some of it's not true. He'll be anonymous because he knows that the not true stuff I'll sue him for.
Yeah.
And so he'll be anonymous. You won't be able to track him. I'm just letting you know it's going to happen. Oh, okay. Then he does write them. And then, so I get an email and they say, and this is my first objection. I get an email. And the director writes me back and says, or I get an email and she says, hey, are you free Sunday at 2:00? Weird time, but okay. Mm. we just have a couple questions about the show. Okay. So it's the show. So I'm like, yeah. So I get on the Zoom and it's her and the chairman of their board.
Ooh.
And they have no questions about the show. They have questions about the mm-hmm. internet troll. And so the internet. And so I talk him through the internet troll, and it's exactly what I said. And they're like, you're right, he's anonymous. We can't figure out who he is. I'm like, yeah, because he doesn't want you to know who he is. Mm-hmm. And I told you this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So they said, okay, our board has to revote on it now.
Oh, my gosh.
My inclination, right? My inclination is to disinvite them and just say, like, look, I told you this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I walked you through it. Mm-hmm. To start over from square one. And by the way, you said yes 2 months ago.
Right.
And we mm-hmm. built the whole date of the event around your availability. Mm-hmm. If you're going to, but this is just me. If you're going to mm-hmm. walk backwards on me now, best I find somebody else because I don't need mm-hmm. in March for you to come back and say, well, you know what? The mm-hmm. the leaves aren't coming out on the trees, so we can't do it.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I agree with you. I mean, I would be pretty offended that they are going to listen to some random anonymous person about you after they've already had a relationship with you
yeah.
and they've already committed to doing this with you. I think that kind of shows like some bad character on their part. I don't know. I mean, that's just I agree with you. I would not really want to continue working with them, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree. And it's the inauthenticity. I can't say certain words anymore. Too many syllables. Of them not kind of sabotaging mm-hmm. you into that that phone call, right? Yeah, that, instead of just saying, look, you were right, this person reached out to us, can we unpack some mm-hmm. of the things that was, you know, we were told,
right.
fine. But they, you know, I've had that happen, and have other people have had that happen to before.
Right.
And it's just not, it's an icky, gives you an mm-hmm. icky feeling. Mm-hmm. And it kind of, I think the trust starts to kind of erode. Mm-hmm. And I think anytime you work with kids, it's complicated. Mm-hmm. So I would just stay away from it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And they should have given you the opportunity to maybe talk more about what was said. I mean, did they? Or?
Well, we had a phone call that okay. lasted like 45 minutes, okay. but there wasn't much to say. I'm like, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. There's nothing he said that I don't talk openly about here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing he said that I wasn't open about mm-hmm. there. None of their questions, by the way, had anything to do with the Lifted project. Mm-hmm. Like nothing. It was all like you and, well, you know, what else are we going to find out? And
oh,
I'm like,
gosh.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, you're not going to find out anything else because I talk about it all. That's the whole point mm-hmm. of it, A. And B, it's got nothing to do with the show. And mm-hmm. C, I don't have to see the kids till they get there that day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking to be – I'm not looking for an extra job. So,
well, and it's yeah. also very different from how other people have reacted. You know,
yeah,
other people are like, it's a non-issue.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not even considered, not even brought into consideration. So, mm-hmm. you know, the fact that they're kind of feeling it out is just kind of, again, it's kind of erodes the trust, I think.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's your water bottle, by the
oh,
way.
Oh, thank you.
No problem. All right. So decision made. I'm hitting send, yes? All right. I'm disinviting you right now.
Oh, wow. That's official.
Yeah, but I had it in drafts, and I was just waiting to hear what you guys thought.
This has been a two-week.
Oh, yeah. And then they needed two more weeks.
Well, that's because they had to meet
to revote on
it's
it.
It's a thing.
And they wanted references, and you were kind enough to mm-hmm. say you'd be a reference, mm-hmm. and they never called you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like,
oh, well, I didn't know that part.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm out. Mm-hmm. Seacrest out. All right. Enough Burton for now.
Oh, that stinks.
So Krista Hines is a superhero.
Oh, stop.
And you are a superhero. Mm-hmm. And, you're in for the next Lifted project, right?
Oh, yes.
Hudson River Housing,
so
though, I mean,
excited.
Too. Yeah.
Yes.
You're
yes.
singing, but yeah, Hudson River yes, Housing, too. Okay,
that was
cool.
So much fun.
You were awesome.
Oh, I don't know about that, but it was yeah. so much fun.
Okay.
It was a great day.
I'm just going to say one thing at the risk of alienating people.
Oh, no.
Again, this is twice. And
we've only been on for about 4 minutes.
All right. I found a way to say it. If there is a way to make a presentation about your organization in under 2 minutes, and Krista Hines showed everybody else what that way is
oh,
at the
geez.
Lifted project.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, wow. she did.
Yeah. No, that was awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
And I have a photo of us hugging that I look at a lot. I'm like, oh, look, I have a friend.
No, you have a lot of friends.
Well,
there were a lot of people there that day.
That was fun. That
yeah,
was fun.
It was great.
So you built a house for kids?
Well, I certainly did not do it on my own, that's for sure. And we didn't build the house. I mean, we bought a house. We bought a house. We did get money from the county. Dutchess County gave us a grant through the ARPA funds, which is like the a lot of COVID money came through the federal government to the county. So we did a big plan at the county level, and we all determined that there was a need for more housing for young adults. So this is not necessarily kids. It's for 18 to 25-year-olds.
Okay. All right.
So young adults. We're seeing a lot of people in that age group that are, really, really struggling with housing and lots of other things, just trying to get on their feet. So, yeah, so we got money from the county, and we renovated this house, and it came out beautiful. We named it Pat's Place after an employee of Hudson River Housing's. She's way more than an employee. She's really like one of our founders. She's been with our organization and another organization called River Haven for like 40 years.
Oh, wow.
And River Haven is specifically a program serving kids, youth.
Okay.
We have a youth shelter through River Haven and now this program for older kids. Yeah.
And is it like apartments or is it?
It's technically a rooming house. So it's just this big house that has 12 bedrooms.
Oh, wow.
And it was, it had been a rooming house for years prior, which was literally like finding a needle in a haystack, because we wanted to find something that we could just, you know, basically like move into and not have to deal with zoning issues and all of that, because it's usually really hard to find, you know, a house that will work for a program like this.
Right.
So we found it. It's beautiful. We, you know, renovated it. Basically three floors. So each kid has their own room. And it's 24/7. We have staff there all the time. They eat together. They many of them have jobs. And, you know, our staff help them get to work. And it's just a great, great program. I'm really happy.
So Hudson River Housing does, like, Trish, I don't even know if you know, they do like 45 things. They give vets rides to doctors.
We do that, yeah.
so important.
What else do you guys do?
Yeah, so, well, we have services really for every type of, you know, person. We serve families. We have a family shelter in the town of LaGrange, and we serve about 60 families out there, like over 100 kids.
Wow.
And then we have programs for adults as well that are experiencing homelessness, veterans, and our youth programs, like I was saying, have really taken off. We're doing a lot more for kids.
I think you should change the name from Hudson River Housing to just Hudson River, because you do everything. So just like,
true, we do a lot more than just housing.
Take off the housing and just, I'm the president of Hudson River.
There you go.
Hudson River Services. What is the time frame for, so like if you take like the fan, you mentioned family, it's so can you say more about, like, you're housing them, and then it there's a qualification, like how do they qualify, how long are they there?
So so we really offer like a continuum of services. So we have emergency shelter for people that are literally homeless or, you know, about to be homeless. And that, so people basically come in and they can stay for the most part as long as they need to, and we work with them to try to get them into something more permanent. So basically folks go from emergency shelter into transitional housing, which is typically 2 years. So the program that we opened, that's called Pat's Place, is a 2-year program. So the kids live there. I mean, we don't obviously kick them out after 2 years, but the goal is that we try to find them something more permanent after 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then we have lots of apartments that's considered permanent housing that people stay indefinitely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Are you introverted or extroverted?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I'm kind of in between. Like, when I'm around people that I'm really comfortable with, and I'm more, you know, of an extrovert, I guess. But typically, I think I tend more to be an introvert. I have to answer that question.
Yeah, I think so, too. Introverted.
Yeah.
How do you stand all the people? If I had your job, I'd be like, if I found this out about myself, if I had your job, I'd be bald, because I just, like, it's so many different agendas swirling in. How do you do that?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question, because honestly, it took a lot for me to even accept this position. I've been in this role now for like 7 years,
right?
And although I've been with the organization for 26 years, actually, it was hard for me to step into this role, because I didn't really want to be, you know, at the forefront and, like, you know, having to do all of these public, you know, presentations and things. But it's gotten easier. And I think I do it just because, you know, I stay focused on why I'm here. I'm really just telling the story for all the other people that work at HRH. It's not about me. It's about, you know, the people that we serve and the people I work with. So it's gotten easier.
Tell me if I'm overrepresenting 1,500 homes?
1,500 units of
housing
that we've developed.
I'm not going to curse, because I know you need this show for PR, but if I was to curse, I would say that's blanking Toll Brothers. You're like the CEO of Toll Brothers.
Well, I don't know.
1,500 is...
Yeah, no, we're pretty proud of that, and we haven't done that single-handedly. We've done about half of that ourselves, and then the other half we've partnered with a lot of other organizations.
Same.
Yeah, we really have done a lot with our partners. Yeah.
So you're the president of an organization that built 1,500 individual units, or partnered with for 15.
And we're just getting started. We have a lot more we want to do.
How big do you want to get?
Well, it's not so much
not
how
big, but how many?
There's such a need. I mean, I talked about this last time I was on the show, that we're in such a housing crisis right now. And we have been. We were in this before COVID, and then COVID's only made it so much worse. And we all know how expensive it is to find housing. If you can even find housing, it's really hard to afford it. Most people are paying, like, typically you're supposed to pay no more than 30% of your income towards your housing costs. I mean, that's what's considered affordable housing.
Okay.
Then, you know, as soon as you start paying more than 30%, now you're considered like cost burdened.
Right.
A lot of people are paying more than 50%, 50%, 60% towards their housing. And that's a problem because then they can barely put food on the table. They can't go to college. They can't help their kids go to college. So we're trying to build more housing that's at that 30% range so people can actually afford to live a life too.
If you were Dutchess County executive.
Oh, God.
What legislation would you change or enact to help with this problem? Mm. What would you be doing different?
That's a good question. I mean, I think we have to look at zoning. So right now, it is hard to build housing in some communities because the zoning isn't aligned. There's a lot of single family zoning. So if we wanted to build, let's say, a four family or even a two family, it's hard to do that because it's not allowed in a lot of communities. So I think zoning has to be looked at. And a lot of towns are looking at that and they're trying to, like Kingston, I think, just passed now, there's ADUs. Like you can have an ADU, which is called an accessory dwelling unit, in your home, which will help the homeowner bring in more income and it creates potentially an affordable unit for someone. So that, I think, is a really good strategy that communities can start allowing in their zoning codes. But, yeah, I mean, we need to be able to build more multifamily and also, you know, just get the word out that people you know, there is this thing called NIMBY, you know, not in my backyard.
Yeah.
People don't really want to see,
you
know, other folks move in and that's a problem. You know, I think we need to be a little bit more community minded and realize that we all need a place to live and it helps the whole community. If there's more housing for everyone, that means, you know, people that work in the grocery stores and, you know, the hospitals, doctors, teachers, like they all have housing. If everyone has housing, it's just a better community as a whole.
Yeah. I'd rather see you in somebody's spare 400 square feet than see you on a sidewalk.
Well, that's like, to the me, other that's, thing. And homelessness is a whole nother. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's a no brainer. I never, by the way, where we live is the capital of NIMBY land. Like NIMBY land is big continent, but we live in the capital. Where we live, everybody has like these signs that are like, "We're so glad you're my neighbor." It doesn't matter who you are. There's not
until they want to build.
There's not an affordable housing unit within 30 miles of us, and it's amazing to me.
Yeah, well, there's just such a stigma around it. You know, when you hear the word affordable, you instantly think, or some people do, some people think, you know, that there's something wrong with the person that's there. There's like somehow they're not, you know, there's going to be more crime in the neighborhood. Just crazy stuff. They assume that people that make less than them are not good in some way. And it's just not, it's a terrible way of thinking.
It's a horrible way of thinking. And but what's even worse is putting signs on your lawn that you don't think that way when you do. Mm-hmm. That makes me nuts.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Or wanting diversity and then until it's knocking on your door.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No. Do
you ever get tempted? Because 1,500 units. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get tempted to take like 6 months off, get your real estate license, and just go crush for 6 months and then go back to doing the work of the Lord? Does that ever
I mean, I can't say that there aren't times I get frustrated with the work that we do. It's challenging, you know, dealing with the NIMBYisms and the bureaucracy. It can definitely be demoralizing. But then when we open up a place like Pat's Place and we've got a lot of other exciting projects that we're working on, you know, I'll get through it somehow. Okay. And the staff really make a difference. I mean, there's 200 employees that work at Hudson River Housing. It's not just me doing this at all. And, you know, we keep each other going and motivated.
That's amazing to me, too. Mm-hmm. If I had the tools, and I don't, but if I had the toolkit to run 200 people to make, whether you build them or partner with, to create 1,500 units of housing, I would be the CEO of the biggest real estate company in the world, and you are opting for not what the biggest real estate company in the world would pay you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I really love what we do, and you know, seeing the impact that we make, really makes a big difference. So.
What's the website? HudsonRiverHousing.org?
.org.
And I can donate there?
Yes.
Listen.
Yes, please.
Listener, do me a favor. Hit pause. Go to HudsonRiverHousing.org and donate. And then come back and hit play. But right now, just hit pause. Go ahead. I'll wait. Go ahead. Okay, back. So veteran services, kid services. Are there areas that you're looking at, other areas you're looking to get into that are new service areas?
Well, actually, we are. So we serve a lot of people that have mental illness and addiction.
You just ruined the whole rest of the show.
Oh, my gosh. I was jumping out of his chair.
I had 15 minutes in my head where I was going to try to talk you into working with mental health.
Oh, wow.
Because you're so effective at everything else that you're touching. Yeah. I'm like, hey, could you
look over here? I'm sure it has to. I mean, I was just going to ask about, you know, the joblessness versus the homelessness. Because I know there's definitely, you know, a mental health aspect too, especially I think the homelessness piece of it.
Definitely.
So do you find that there are more people, like what do you see brings a family or a person to needing your help?
Yeah, I would say that mental illness is a huge factor. You know, addiction is also a real concern that we're seeing more and more people that are impacted by substance abuse. So, I mean, we've been, you know, because we obviously have been working with people that have been experiencing homelessness, we don't just focus on housing, we focus on the whole person.
Right.
And we've been doing that for a long time, but we're really looking to like formalize those mental health and substance abuse services a little bit
more.
So
do you get into the realm of like detoxing and
not yet.
And all of that?
But but we're, you know, we're definitely looking at hiring more like clinicians and KSACs and people that really have that expertise in working with folks that have addiction issues specifically and mental illness too.
Do you ever consider, and you're probably already doing it because everything I bring up to you, you're already doing.
Oh, gosh.
But do you ever consider like establishing your template elsewhere, like creating a model and saying, listen, if this can work in Hudson Valley, it can work in it can work in the Midwest, blah, blah. Do you ever?
I mean, well, we've been doing a lot of work in Poughkeepsie for a long time.
Right.
So what we are trying to do is bring those services outside of Poughkeepsie into more rural areas.
Right.
So not necessarily, and like Dutchess County still needs a lot of services, a lot of housing, and so maybe not so much outside of the whole area, but doing more outside of the city of Poughkeepsie primarily.
But you could write your template down. You could say like, look, this is me pitching a book to you. You could say like, look, this is how I brought us from X to Y. This is the way I manage it. This is the impact that I'm having, and this could work in Illinois the same way
it
works here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So well,
because you're crazy successful.
Well, thank you. I really do appreciate it. It's so hard. It's a little hard to. I mean, I really appreciate what you're saying. So we're part of NeighborWorks America. I might have mentioned this last time. So there is a national organization that we are affiliated with. We became a member of NeighborWorks America about 25 years ago. So there's 240 organizations like Hudson River Housing all throughout the country.
See, I told you she was already doing it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, she's got her way, the Krista way.
So like RUPCO, for example. RUPCO is based here in the city of Kingston.
What's RUPCO?
I'm surprised. So RUPCO has done a lot of work in Kingston. They are very similar to Hudson River Housing. And so have they tried to recruit you? They
honestly
don't. Well, you know,
tell me
funny,
yes. Yeah, here we go.
No. The funny thing is, so Kevin O'Connor is the president of RUPCO, and he used to work at Hudson River Housing, so he actually hired me. So I know Kevin very, very well, and they do great work in Ulster County and beyond. So we work with them on projects. They're also a NeighborWorks organization. There's, I believe, 16 in New York State, and like I said, 240 in the country.
Right.
So the model is there. I didn't create it.
All right.
I'm sorry. I wish I could say it's not rocket science, though, really, what we do. I mean, It's
it is if your name is John Burton.
Well, it's, I mean, it's not, you know, affordable housing is, it's, I'm not saying it's not, it has its, it does have some complications to it, but it's, yeah, it's not that, it's not rocket science.
Okay. So recently, you and I had a similar event in our lives.
Yes.
Somebody ditched us.
Oh, God. We're going right there.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Yes.
So Krista had like a, so, all right. I haven't
like a date or what?
No. All right. So without going into names, we both had somebody like, and you'll know in a second what I'm talking about. We both had somebody like important in our lives just kind of exit on bad exit with no good reason.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, someone was that was in your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we were talked about this the other day with the heart. We were talking to Lindsay Mann about you got to unplug.
Yeah.
Let them go.
Yes. So is that what you did? Is that, you're better because you were bumming for a hot minute.
Well, it was literally that pretty much the day that it happened that you that we were supposed to do this show,
right.
I think, or the day before or something like that. So yeah, I was not in the greatest of places that day, but no, I'm totally good now.
How'd you heal? What's the trick?
You know, I just realized that the person, you know, you can't, I don't know, like there's, what's the trick? I don't know really what the trick is.
This is the last time I'm getting her in here. I can feel it right now.
No, it's just, everything happens for a reason, right. You know, and we just obviously weren't a good match and it's totally okay.
Right.
You know? Yeah, it's totally okay. I mean, I think there's good ways to do things and maybe it wasn't handled quite the best way, but the ultimate outcome is okay because, you know, you don't want to be with somebody that doesn't want to be with you.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Why would you?
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. But the way you do that is so, that's character driven.
Yeah, I think you just have to appreciate what you do have. And like I said, just know it there's a reason for everything. There really is.
Right.
You know?
And in the situations that I've been in or we've experienced, I've learned, because it is very hurtful. It's very hurtful. And, you know, it can make you question yourself and what's wrong with me and why did this happen and did I do something wrong or could I have done something a different way? But I think, and we're hearing this more and more, that, you know, most of the time, it's not about you.
Right.
It's about them. Yeah. And it's how they handled it is how they handled it. And of course, you have to react to it. And you're part of the ripple effect of that. But, you know, in our situation, it was that person chose to leave that way. And, you know, that's ultimately about them.
Exactly.
And what we have control over is how we react to it. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. It's a moment in time. This person was in my life for this passage of time and it's run its course and you just have to let it go.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's not necessarily easy, but but you're right. It's definitely more about them than about you, you know, and if you have a good foundation in who you are, you realize that pretty quickly. That
do you know who Neil Brennan is? He's a comedian. He has this song. It's hilarious. It's called "Nobody's Mad at You," and it's all about how like we take everything personal, and meanwhile, almost everything that happens to you has nothing to do with you.
Right.
And it's a really funny song. I'll see if I can stick it in the middle of the show somewhere. All right. Go.
So I was just going to say, so when is this next song happening? Like what's going on?
April 6th.
April 6th.
April 6th. I am one email away from being able to tell you, well, I could tell you, but everybody else, where it's going to be.
Okay.
Right now, the plan is a 200-person choir with you guys doing an original song and you guys doing Won't Be Broken. But when you do Won't Be Broken, it will be, you'll be backed up by like 150 people.
Oh my gosh, it's gonna be amazing.
Yeah. I learned a lot from the first one. Mm-hmm. So but it's funny, like the first one was like so flow. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. Like everything you know, everything I needed
Karen
to make it happen.
Catalano.
Karen Catalano too. But including her, like she landed in my lap.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so like this one's work. This one's
really?
Like this one's not
a lot more people.
Not
too.
Coming easy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm stoked to do it. And we're doing
you're not around the 24th, right?
24th of
August.
No, I might be.
Do you want to sing?
Maybe.
We're doing the Hope Rocks music festivals in Saugerties.
Oh, okay.
And we're doing, and if you're free, I would love it. We're doing a panel discussion, and there's four of us, and if you could be one of four, okay. I would. And it ends at 5, so
okay.
It's, you know, I know you have 5 dates lined up for that.
No, I'm sure. I don't even know what day it is.
It's a Saturday. Okay. So I know about your nightlife. And I would not want to.
Yeah, okay. Let me know about my nightlife.
I would not want to impinge, but no, there's a panel discussion first, and then we're doing the song a few times.
Oh, cool.
So if you're around, awesome. Let me know. Right. And because I would love to have you. You'd be great on the panel, too.
Thank you.
Because we're talking about mental health and addiction. And that's, you know.
Okay.
What do you do for, how do you keep your mental health? What do you do for fun? And don't say the farm. Because farms are not fun.
Well, farms are fun to me.
Farms are zero fun. It's all labor.
It's all perspective.
Do you live on a farm?
No, but I grew up on a farm, and the farm's still very much in the family. My son works there. My brother has a farm, and I don't live far away. So, yeah, I like going there and doing stuff on the farm. But
that's not fun.
Connecting to nature is like 80% of...
Farm's not nature. Yeah, farms don't occur naturally.
What are you talking about?
When's the last time you were in a jungle and stumbled on a farm? Work,
well, it's... Yeah, it's
no, you people hay. Make farms. They don't happen in nature.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we grow hay and cut it, and I mean,
it just didn't happen in nature. You did it. That's called work.
When you grow something and you see where it comes from, that's spiritual. It gives you the cycle of life, and then you're taking care of the animals.
All right, okay.
Yeah, and just being outside is really nice. Yeah.
Aside from the farm, what else do you do? Because you have a pressure-filled job.
Concert tonight in Red Hook.
Where are you going?
There's a barn called it's the Hardiman Orchards in Red Hook.
Okay.
They renovated this old barn. It's beautiful, and there's a concert tonight. Mike Miz is performing. He's good.
Okay, cool.
So I like going to live music and hanging out with my friends, my kids, walking my dog. You know, I keep busy.
Cooking. One of your sons is in college.
Well, so yes. My youngest is going to Dutchess.
Okay.
Yes. My oldest was briefly in college. He went to Ithaca for like one semester. But then he came back and he's working on the farm.
How did you handle it when he went? Because I'm not going
to... When he went, it was hard. I cried. Okay. But then he came back. She's like, uh-oh. So it's hard. It is hard.
I know. I had another question for you. But were you... privately happy when he came back?
I'm
so glad that
I was also like, you know, obviously conflicted about it because I'm thinking I hope this is the right decision for him personally, but seeing how happy he is and he's going to take over the family business, so like how could I not be happy about but it was hard. But you want your kids to be happy, and I could see he wasn't happy.
Right.
He was really not happy.
Wow.
So it's like I'd rather him, and he made a really hard choice. He went against the grain and quit school. Like a lot of his friends are obviously still in college, and it's a thing to do. And it's the thing I always thought he should, you know, and I think a lot of kids should go to college. And I keep saying to my youngest, you have to go to college unless you have another plan.
Right. I think college should be plan B. I really do. I think, first off, there are a couple of reasons. Mm-hmm. First reason is AI.
It shouldn't be the only path or plan. That's the pressure, I think, especially where we live, that's the one path, and it's definitely not the one path or the only path. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious because we're in here with the package. She'll be a senior, so we're in the college finding zone and all of that lovely problem solving stuff, but we've heard of kids going away and coming back, so I think it's or making it a semester, two semesters or a year, and then not going back. So do you think what do you think, is it the work, is it the mental health, is it the being away, is it the stress?
Yeah, I think for him, well, he was also he's a baseball player, so he went on a scholarship, and I think that the pressure he was under really got to him. Plus, I think going from a small school, we live in Rhinebeck, and it's tiny school, and he was like a big fish in a small pond, and then you go to becoming the small fish, and I think the pressure of the sports and being away, and you know, it was just a lot for him.
So had he ever considered the farm, running the farm as an option?
Not, I mean, he had worked on the farm prior to going to college and loved it. But, you know, I think because of the pressure that we had put on him, like, you have to go to college. And plus, he loved baseball.
That's so
You know, but then he did an about face.
One of my best friends in high school had that same experience. He was he pitched for Rhinebeck, and he was really, really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you probably can't.
Well, this is a long time ago.
It's not that long.
Because Brendan pitched for Rhinebeck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mike Miller. Do you know Mike Miller? No. I'm a few years on top of you, so.
I don't know. I feel like I do know.
He pitched, and he went to West Point.
Wow.
But, like, in Rhinebeck, he was the big fish.
Yeah.
Right? And then he goes to West Point, and he told me, like, they made me stand against a wall with a dime, and I couldn't leave the wall until the sweat from my back made the dime stick to the wall.
Oh, my gosh.
And, yeah, and I'm like, well, dude, I would leave just for that. But he's like, same thing.
Yeah.
He was there and back within, like, a month.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's so hard to go from, which is why I failed at everything in high school so that I could then succeed in life. When you're okay, next question, because you're both really, really good moms. How do you handle it when your kid hurts your feelings? Has your kid ever hurt your feelings?
I mean, I'm sure they have, but I can't really remember. I mean, I think going back to the other conversation we were having, like, they're obviously doing it for something that's going on. They're not doing it to hurt me, you know.
It's right.
Something's going on in their own cell, you know. Like, so I look at the root cause of why they're saying those things. It's, you know, I rarely would think that they're doing it because they actually believe what they're saying.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? They're, like, just in a bad mood or reacting to something else that's going on. They're taking it out on me. I don't take it personal, I guess, is the best way to answer. I've ever taken
same
it
here.
Yeah.
You can't take it personally. And I don't know. I mean, I think I remember not necessarily like high school age, but even like post high school, like college and stuff, like really not being nice to my mom.
Same.
Like, you know,
I was so mean to my mom.
And it's like
you
and,
were.
And
I was.
Yeah. And I know I wasn't doing it to hurt her. It had nothing to do with her.
Right, exactly.
It had nothing to do. So the same thing we were talking about before. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with her. So I know, you know, I get my feelings hurt all the time. And I just put it into perspective and I say, you know, I'm very conscious about my reaction to it. Having said that, I probably underreact sometimes. I should probably push it a little bit more, but I know that it has very little to do with me and that I know who she is at the core, and I know she's not trying to hurt me. It's just the ickiness of
hormones,
adolescence.
It is. It's hormone, I think. And girls, I mean, are tough.
I mean, it's a hard time. When you think of everything that they're going through and this big life decision about college, no college, what college, where. I mean, we talk about it all the time that they're put in this position to make this huge life decision at such a vulnerable age and stage.
Which
that
is why I scream gap year all the time. Take a year.
I mean, we're the opposite. We're telling Gramercy, stay home, take a gap year, go to Westchester Community. Like, you know, when she just wants to go.
Or Duchess, because we're moving up here.
Or Duchess.
Duchess.
Can you find us
great.
A house, please? We need
I was going to say. I almost said it before. I was like,
Christmas. I will. Trust me, I will.
Did you have rules about college, like how far away you were, or you like wherever you want to land? And he picked this like anyway.
Yeah. Well, he went through all the, you know, the baseball scouting process and everything. So Ithaca sort of picked him.
He
picked Ithaca. But I mean, I would have been supportive of wherever they wanted to go, you know.
I'm a fan of this 4-hour rule. Like, you can't go farther than four hours by car so that I can get there when somebody slips some Mickey into your red cup and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're calling your roommate who's in her boyfriend's room. And
you have scenarios going on there.
I've thought this through. And
I mean, maybe having a girl is different, but like, I don't know. I feel like you can't really. You know, they're adults. They need to make their own decisions at this point.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't want to, like, limit them, but So I sort of let them make their own decisions.
And I interrupted you before. You're getting into mental health and substance abuse and addiction. What else are you getting into?
Oh, at HRH?
Yeah.
Oh,
I love doing it. I do that on purpose with Krista because she makes the best face when you do it. You're like, okay.
Okay, we're going back.
She gets like a little zing.
Oh, what are we doing? Well, let's see.
Not that that's not enough.
Yeah, no. Well, we're doing a lot of home ownership. Speaking of, home ownership, we're doing a big project in Armenia, which is Eastern Dutchess County, Armenia.
Yeah.
Hoping to build 28 single family houses out there to sell to first time home buyers and at very affordable prices to give people a chance at their first house.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So are these home, just to clarify, because John may know more than me, but these are county.
You can just always say John knows more than me.
No. We're going to build them and then sell them. So they're going to be owned by the homeowner.
Okay.
So the homeowner will get a mortgage, just like anyone that buys a house typically would get a mortgage. But we are going to apply for a grant through the state to subsidize the cost. So it's going to still cost us probably $400,000 to build it, but because the state has programs to help us, like reimburse us for the cost, it's only going to cost the homeowner like $200,000.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Why don't you guys hold the note? Why don't you guys carry the mortgage?
Well, we actually do sometimes hold like a second mortgage.
See, everything I say, she's already done.
No, yeah. but yes, we will sometimes hold like a soft second mortgage for people.
Yeah. But that's tricky because you're a nonprofit, right?
And that's okay.
It is okay.
Yeah, it fits still with our mission.
Good.
And they're like going back to the NeighborWorks America model, a lot of NeighborWorks organizations do their own lending.
Yeah.
I think Repco, I'm pretty sure that they might actually do lending.
Okay.
But we kind of dabbled in it, like being a first lien holder,
right,
like a bank. But it's very risky. So we did a couple and then we're like, I don't know if we really want to venture into that.
Right.
So.
And that's really like kind of long-term planning too, because, the first 10 years is you're getting your money back and then.
That's the thing. Yeah.
It's a long play.
It is. It's a really long play.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense not to do that maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we have a lot of other things going on. So,
What got you into veterans?
We always serve veterans. I mean, just going back to, homelessness in general, like anyone that, we serve anyone that needs housing.
Right.
So obviously veterans need housing. So we'd always serve veterans. But
are you freezing?
No, I'm okay.
Okay.
we always serve veterans, but we saw, 7 years ago, we started to see an increase in the number of veterans that were coming to us.
Mm.
So we just started to really like refine our programs. And then we learned that transportation was a huge issue. And I think I mentioned last time I was on the show that we work really closely with Tommy's or Helen.
Yep.
He's another great guy. We should get on the show.
I had him on.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
When he was running, I had him on.
Oh, okay.
He's great.
So Tommy, after his walk, he raised all the funds so we could buy the car, and that's what started our whole transportation program.
That's fantastic.
Because of Tommy, yeah.
No, he's a real good guy.
Oh, my gosh. He's amazing.
Yeah. And funny, too. He's funnier than you think he is.
Hysterical.
Yeah.
Very dry.
Yep, but like, very dry. he was good. I should get him back on actually.
Definitely. Yeah.
Is there any – so – would you do any other career after this? Or is this?
Well, I think we talked about it last time, like a farmer's market, something on the farm.
Back to the farm.
I know. But I love being outside. And when people go to farmer's markets, they're usually in a good mood and happy. Mm-hmm. And, it's a good way to meet people and stuff.
So, well, that's always fascinating about you because, like, your whole job is problem solving.
Yeah.
That would wear. That,
yeah.
I think I nailed that one.
Yeah.
That would wear me out.
Yeah.
Like it did wear me out. I did mm-hmm. that for a long time, mm-hmm. and you just come home every day empty,
mm-hmm.
and.
Yeah, I will admit, lately it's been feeling a lot like that because we're seeing a real increase in, homelessness, especially on Main Street in Poughkeepsie. It's gotten really, really bad. In the city, we partner really closely with the city of Poughkeepsie, and they're looking to us to, solve this problem.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, it's like, how am I going to solve this problem?
Right.
Like, I don't know how to do it. I really don't.
I don't mean, collect taxes. You do. How about you solve the problem?
It's hard. And I want to be able to solve it. But a lot of the folks, you know, that are, you know, especially dealing with addiction issues, they don't want to be housed. They just want to be left alone.
Right.
You know, they want to do what they're doing. And, you know, you don't want to see people doing that to themselves on the streets, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
but you can't. How do you get them out of that? It's a real challenge, and I don't have the answers.
It seems like every possible solution has been tried and not worked. You know, from camps to...
The meeting I just had before I came here, I was actually meeting with folks about doing a safe injection site. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they've done them in Canada and other parts of I could think even in this country.
San Francisco, I think, that's part of what they mm-hmm. were doing.
And it's like I really started to think about morally, like, am I okay with that.
Mm-hmm. So a safe injection site is...
They come into your facility and they can shoot. They have to bring their own drugs with them. I mean, you don't provide the drugs for them, but they basically will shoot up. You know, they'll inject their own drugs under supervision so that it's a safe. They get clean needles.
Okay. Yeah. They tried it in San Francisco, and but that's the whole thing with the tent. I mean, it's, I don't know.
How do you feel morally about that?
I don't know. I don't really feel good about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I really want to watch people kill themselves, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I know they're going to do, you know, the other thought is that, well, they're going to do it anyway, so at least they're doing it safely. But I don't know. I have to really sit with that.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
That's kind of like, well, I mean, I'm minimizing it, but it's kind of like that when parents say, well, my kid's going to drink, so I'll let them drink in my house. And then it turns into a night, you know, liability and nightmare. I don't know. It's a tricky, very tricky situation.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
I kind of line up with you, but for a different reason. My perspective is, the minute you start participating in the problem in any way, you are less participating in the solution. And so if I, like, the problem is John's going to use a needle, right? If Krista says, okay, well, at least he's got a clean needle, you're participating in the problem now. You're not participating in the solution anymore. And that problem is so big, it needs all of our attention. So I think I line up with you for that reason. You know, you're just enabling never works in anything. And, you know,
I tend to believe that too, but then what do we do? It's like we've tried everything else. I just don't know.
I have an answer, but nobody's going to like it.
Oh God.
Well, not any
put him on
answer.
The farm.
No. But then what's Krista going to do for fun?
It could be fun.
You got 50 rehabilitating addicts hoeing. What is poor Krista going to do?
Yeah.
And by hoeing, I mean the...
No, I know what you mean.
Okay, all right, fine. So using substances to alter consciousness is... It's part of the human condition. You're not going to change that. What you can do, and it's not a clean needle approach, what you can do is introduce drugs, substances that don't create dependency, and provide that as an alternative. Mushrooms, psilocybin, all that, you know, all those drugs that are trippy, that will get you out of your head, but that don't create a dependency. And I think if you made that accessible, more people would choose that as opposed to. And you would at least take a big bite out of it. John for president.
Wow,
right?
You got my vote. That's interesting. I never thought of that.
Because it's a problem you can't solve. The people always try to alter their consciousness. I mean,
more so now than ever.
What we learn about marijuana or prohibition, like making it illegal doesn't work.
Right.
But provide an alternative to it that's
less dangerous.
That's less dangerous and that won't create a dependency. And maybe somebody cleans up a little bit.
And you can grow the mushrooms on the farm.
There you go. It came full circle. Oh my gosh. We just solved all the world's problems today.
In one hour.
I feel good now.
See, you do need the farm.
See?
No, you don't, because mushrooms happen in nature.
Oh, you can ask nature. You can trip a natural farm.
You can trip over a mushroom in the forest. Okay. You can't trip over a farm.
You haven't been to enough farms. That's the problem. Okay, you need to come to the farm.
All right. Invite me and I will be there. All right. We'll do the show from the farm.
Perfect.
Okay.
I'm going to go work on the farm when I retire. Yeah.
Good. All right. Deal.
All right. HudsonRiverHousing.org.
Yes. Please support us.
Yeah. Please do support them. They do amazing things. Pat's Place. How do I... Yeah. Like, if I'm interested in...
Yeah, you can go on our website. Okay. There's lots of info there. 57 South Clinton. It's located in the city of Poughkeepsie. You can drop in. There's always staff there. But, yeah, learn about us on our website.
Thank you for being my friend.
Thank you for being awesome. My friend, both of you. And, so fun.
And open invitation to come in. And if you're free on the 24th, okay. I would love that.
Yeah.
And I'm serious. We'll do the next show from the farm.
All right. Yeah. I would love that.
No, I'm being dead serious. Let's do it. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Totally
beautiful.
Cool. Good.
Thank you for doing this. You're awesome.
It was my pleasure. It was really fun. All right. We solved the world's problems. We now I can go home. Right. I don't have to go to work on Monday. So.
We got it all. Yeah. I'm John. That's Krista. That was Trish. This was Home Premiere. Adios.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah, thank you for doing
that. Oh, no, it was really great.
And I cool. I